never.
Ain't that some? Ain't that some? Once a week, we come together as a people to complain about stuff. Whatever it is you're upset with, now is your chance. Phone number's 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Who has wronged you? What has wronged you? Let us know. Let's start with John in Chantilly. Johnny, who you mad at?
Hey, how are you guys today?
Doing good, man.
I want to bleep you to Washington Nationals. I'll tell you why. My son was in town. We went to a game last week. Two 16-ounce draft beers, $42, and two barbecue sandwiches with a water, $50. So I want to bleep you to Washington Nationals for the greed of the learners or whoever.
How much was it? One more time.
It was 16-ounce Stella draft beers was $42. Two barbecue sandwiches with water was $50.
Damn,
dog.
They have the highest prices concessions and the third worst baseball team in baseball.
Do and they I'm really have the highest fan. Concessions?
The highest beer prices in baseball.
Two beers, $21 each?
Damn, that's no joke.
With, yes, and that was with a custom tip because I was PO'd. I didn't give them the $9 they wanted for the tip.
Yo, thank you for the call, John. The tipping situation has gotten out of control.
Yeah, you can't tell me how much I'm supposed to tip.
Well, dude, it's also like...
Like, there are places now, it starts at 25%.
Right. It's like...
I'm like, dude, no. Where is... I'm hit other, and then you put your own one in.
Like, if
you
I'm...
You can't tell me you did 25% good.
If I'm getting a couple sandwiches, right? In the old days where I would pay cash... And it was $22. I would give them $25 and just say keep it. Or they'd have the little jar and I'd throw a couple bucks in there. But now everything is so damn expensive. There's this little sub place down at the beach. My boy went and bought a pizza and one extra large cheesesteak. Now, granted, the extra large cheesesteaks are like 18 inches. He said it was $60.
Listen, bro. this is where I get caught up. If you raise the price... You're not going to raise the tipping as well. And some people raising stuff that not even much going up. It's not costing them no more money. But everybody used the excuse of tariffs. Tariffs, tariffs, tariffs. Don't tell me you got homegrown stuff if you're going to tell me about tariffs. If you got homegrown, get what you're not doing. You're not getting it shipped in the country.
Well, dude, before tariffs, they were saying inflation, inflation, inflation. Right? Like, they're just jacking prices because they can. And I am sure prices of things are also going up. But, like... Not at the same rate,
but if
cost
price,
of things
if prices
are
going up for them, don't they think prices are going up for us? And
right.
We are not going to. You can't tell me, okay, the prices went up 20%, but now you want me to tip you 25-30%.
Right.
No, it's not how it works.
Right.
20% is a lot of damn money to be tipped.
Dude, on a $40.
They add surcharges on everything already.
If three of us go get burritos. That's going to be $45 between the three of us.
Yeah, but don't add.
And then if you want 20%, that you're basically at like almost $60.
And people can get mad all you want, but you know what? I decide what my tip is. And you cannot tell me you're going to add a surcharge or whatever they call it now, something fee, and then still expect me to tip the same amount. And a lot of places, watch them, y'all, they automatically add the tip and don't tell you, then you tipping them on top of that again. BS. And I think that should be legal. Because if you already added the tip, and then you come over there and hand it up, and you still got a tip line there, meaning I haven't tipped you yet, huh?
Right.
Yeah, so they trying to fool you.
Let's go to Deb from the chat. What's up, Deb? How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys?
How you doing, Deb?
We're good. Thanks for calling.
So my bleep you goes out to the unnamed airline that Jupe mentioned a couple of weeks ago. And being a woman, I didn't listen to Jupe. And that airline canceled my flight. We never even got off the ground.
That airline did that to me and B a couple weeks ago trying to get to Buffalo.
Was that the same one?
Yeah.
Wow.
I tried to get from Baltimore to Charlotte. I figured you can't really screw that up, can you? No,
well,
we were on the tarmac for 3 hours. Before they said, get off the plane, it's broken.
BS. That's the worst,
That's
man.
Straight BS right there, man.
Deb, can I follow up on something you said there?
Yes.
You said, as a woman, you don't really like to listen to Jupe.
Which means me.
Yeah.
It, Is it men or just Jupe specifically?
Oh, men.
Okay. Well, at least you're telling the truth. We appreciate you, Deb. Thank you for the call.
And why they ask you about going to put some gas in the car? Say, no. All right, you don't listen to me anyway. You put gas in your own car. You don't change my... Oh, I need to change my tire. No, you didn't listen when you rolled over the nail. Change your damn tire.
800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Taking your calls right now. It is a Bleep You Thursday. Our guy Alan is in Lorton. What's up, Alan? Who you mad at?
Yeah, I'm calling. Weeks ago, you guys.
We might have to get Alan a Bleep You phone.
Your phone needs to be a little better, dog.
Yeah, let's put him on hold. See if we can make that work. I got a Bleep You beat.
Yeah.
I am generally pretty good at it. I don't click on the link. I don't open the attachment on the email, whatever. Mm-hmm. But the amount of, like, and I imagine it's just AI bots or whatever, the amount of scam BS that happens between your email and your phone is just on steroids. Mm-hmm. And just Bleep You to all of it, man. It is so freaking annoying.
It is.
I hate it.
I go through... erasing. I just open up the email and just erase.
You get a lot of emails, too.
And I erase.
How many emails are in your account right now?
Probably not much, because I've been erasing all morning, so I'm probably down in the 20s, 30s.
All right. Let's go to our guy Matt Stafford is on the line. Matt, who you mad at, buddy?
Hey, it's training camp time, but it's also fantasy football mock draft time. And everyone's starting to get into it and looking at who they're going to take in their home leagues and everything. Well, everyone around the DMV is hyping up Jacory Kroski Merritt, and it's nonstop. And now I'm going to have to take him in the seventh round super high because no one can sleep on him. So everyone that's hyping him up and won't shut up about it, Bleep You.
You gotta bleep yourself for listening to him. You want the secret to yourself. He's saying he's going too high in his drafts.
Well, don't draft him.
Hey, I'm telling you, and then get ready to take Jaden in the first round too.
Oh, well,
that's the price you're gonna have to pay.
Listen, dude, the book is out on Jaden. I don't think you're keeping that a secret, Matt. Maybe Kroski Merritt. You can. Thanks for the call, buddy. Always appreciate you listening. Let's go to our boy Los in Severna Park. Los, who you mad at, brother?
Oh, it's going to sound bad, but bleep you to the salute to commanders aspect of it. You know, the commanders have a military, I guess you could call it something for the military people. And they send me an email saying, hey, you've been invited to the training camp open to only the military. Well, I click on the link, and I got the tickets, but I got it for this Saturday. And I can't go this Saturday. The military training camp is for next Sunday or something like that. But I don't know who to get in contact with. I don't know who to. They're not returning emails, so you know, unfortunately, bleep you to them. You know,
that's tough. At least you got the tickets. A lot of people haven't gotten tickets.
Wait, so
I gave one on the Saturday to the buddy of mine. So, but you know, it is what it is, you know. Just putting my frustration out there, you know.
So I guess they have 3 days left. Saturday is Kids Day, and that's what you got tickets for, Los?
Yeah, but I got invited to the military one. So, it's open for the military, for veterans, yeah.
Yeah, and that's an afternoon practice, I just realized. Did you know that, B?
Didn't know that.
That's tough. So they have three open practices left. Saturday, next Monday, and then the following Sunday is military day. Los, hopefully it works out for you, buddy. I feel like you are able to I see you at all the Caps games and stuff, so hopefully you'll be able to figure it out. Somebody will get
I'll keep trying. Trust me. Thank you so much, guys.
I know you will. Thanks, buddy. Phones are open, 800.
I want them to help you. I might not want to
blast
them on the radio. Because, Los, they do listen to this show.
Phone lines remain open, 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. I'm not one to complain about the heat, but I wouldn't be shocked if people have complained about the heat. I am wondering, nobody has called in on the Terry thing. Do you think folks are starting to have holdout fatigue, B?
They may. I don't know. That's everybody's right to do it. I don't.
Jeffrey?
I think some people, especially with the reports, did you see the report by Diana Russini? that people have reached out to Terry, to Washington about getting Terry with the trade, but Washington has said he's not available. So I think people are just really being patient right now, because I think it was Danny Rouye who said it. He said, we wanted a GM, and now that we got a GM that's GMing, it's not going to be pretty. And I'm starting to see that even myself, you know.
Yeah, but when the GM GMs sometimes, then the agents have the agent. So you get that type of stuff. And I think we just never had to deal with those situations.
Exactly.
But, like, I'm going to be honest with you, and I know a lot of people are your friends, Jay, and you get a lot of people hype. I think even these damn people that break news right now are stretching stuff.
Yeah.
To try to be bigger than the other person. I'm being honest with you.
I think that's fair.
I've been around a long time, bro. And, he asked you for an excess amount of money. Oh, people reaching out for him now. Everybody got to take a different angle to make themselves seem like they are the number one person. And I don't buy that crap all the time.
Everybody's looking for a scoop. And what constitutes a scoop can kind of get disseminated, I guess. C-Dub1906 tweeted me, said, my bloop you goes to people that don't say thank you when you hold the door for them.
Amen.
You're welcome with your rude ass.
Amen.
Dude,
one day I said that. Person said, I said, you're welcome. Oh, I'm sorry. But they never said thank you.
Go ahead, Jeff. You got one?
Yes, I'm bleeping the mosquitoes. So if y'all don't know, the West Nile virus has been found in Hyattsville. So now they're spraying the area with insecticides. Yo, bleep the mosquitoes, because they tore me up last week.
That's what happened to you. You got West Nile.
Jeff definitely has West Nile.
Nah, I don't got no West Nile.
You sure?
I'm positive. I feel amazing. But yeah, bleep you. And bleep you to the dude that tried to give me a hug today. Like, at least dap me up and you know, embrace
me,
hug,
bring
it in. Nah, bro. But like,
I'm your family, dog.
But still, it's too hot for that. It's too hot.
Well, you called me to tell me good night. You got to at least give me a damn hug.
Not in the heat. I don't care.
You and Landfill called me to tell me good night. I need a damn hug.
I'm going
to
call you again and tell you good night.
I won't answer the phone like I did the last time.
I'm going to leave a voicemail.
Landfill, it sounds like you just caught some bleep you shrapnel for calling B to wish him good night.
Yeah, I was just trying to be, you know.
I said, Landfill, get the hell off my phone, because as soon as he started laughing, he couldn't even keep a straight face.
I was just trying to be friendly, like people that hold the door open. And Beamish is just over
holding
here being hostile.
Holding the door open is one thing, but calling a grown man at 10 o'clock to tell him good night, that ain't cool.
Well, Beamish, you're always bringing up that, you know, because of your advanced age, you prefer people to call you instead of text.
Prefer calls to text.
I prefer calls, but I've never called y'all, and I don't expect y'all to call me.
Do you want us to start texting you good night?
No, I don't want
you
to.
Would you prefer that?
When it comes to good night, I need nothing from none of you.
I think we might have to start texting goodnight to each other.
I'm going to start putting voodoo on everybody. I'm going to start dropping stuff in your bags and everything else.
In about 10 minutes, you're going to hear from Commanders defensive back Mikey Sanristil. Keep these phone lines open a few more minutes for a Bleep You Thursday. The people at our office building really are bad about holding the door open. Because, like, there'll be some people that'll kind of side-eye you. Like, I'm at the door walking in, and somebody will be walking up, and it's all glass, and they'll kind of side-eye you. They're like, oh, are you going to hold it? And I'm like, dude, you're 45 seconds behind me. Like, yeah. I'm not going to stand here all that time.
No, I'm not doing that.
And then a lot of people, you'll be holding a door open for someone coming out of the building, and they'll just walk over and press the button. People are lazy as hell about wanting to open a door anymore. Like, the amount of people that just want to press the button all the time instead of just open the door, people will wait in line for that one door that's an auto open rather than just walk over to all the other doors that you can open
yourself.
People
are lazy as hell. That's all it is, Jake.
People are definitely lazy. Jeff, West Nile symptoms. Hasn't your neck been stiff? Well,
I stretch. There's no stiffness over here, buddy. I'm good.
Listen, you definitely have one symptom of West Nile.
What's that?
Confusion.
Yeah, yes, that's the major one.
Now,
there.
If the symptoms was big, bald, and confused, then yeah, but nah.
You are big, bald, and confused.
Nah, I'm not.
What the hell are you talking about?
B, I think I might have another
straight path.
Another symptom Jeff might have of West Nile.
What?
Muscle weakness.
Yeah.
You ain't just see the push-ups I just did.
I saw you do three of them.
I saw you do three.
But you can't do them.
And you were about to
die. You don't think I could do those push-ups?
Nah, y'all ain't going to do them.
going to do it right now. Physically can't. I'm on the radio.
Yeah, we got a stream. You got a headset. Do it.
No. You want me to do 3 push-ups?
I want you to do 5 of the ones I just did.
What'd you do? Like pull your knees up?
Nah, you got to go up. You got to come back. Then you got to go with your legs and with your legs.
Okay. I will do them at – I'll do them for Heard It Here first. I got to go – I don't want to start sweating. I got to go tape something.
Well, that's already bad because you started sweating when you walked outside.
Dude, it is hot, man. It is hot. I don't know. Saturday looks great, though. Have you seen that? Saturday looks like cool in the morning.
Cool. What time is practice?
8 a.m., B.
Damn.
Are you coming Saturday? You have a show Saturday morning?
I probably will come.
Unless somebody makes a tea time?
No, I can make tea time anytime. You know, I'm not worried about it. Listen to me. Standing in the sun.
Well, especially because you're inside of a week after calling that game.
Standing in the sun and playing golf in the sun is two totally different things.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Playing golf, you're kind of choosing what you
want
to do.
Having fun, baby.
Ooh, this is a good one from Carl Grebe, and I can't confirm or deny this, but there is a restaurant, a chain restaurant that is known for elite service, right? A fast food restaurant. Apparently, the one in Largo doesn't give you refills. Does that track? Can you speak? Is this another fast food in Virginia is just way better than fast food in D.C. and Maryland?
Yes. Probably so.
Because I promise you, I done came to a fast food restaurant out here, and they had all the sauces lined
Have
up.
Some.
Yeah, not on that side.
Yeah, man.
Different world. Different world. All right, when we return, Mikey Samristil, Commander's defensive back.
Lanfield's a naughty dude, though.
Lanfield out here pausing people in the chat. Nobody go anywhere. Mikey Samristil still next.
B. Mitchell Finley coming to you live from Commander's training camp, 106.7 The Fan. And we've talked a lot about Jaden Daniels and Mikey Samristil still, two guys that have been very impressive. You heard from Jaden Daniels a little bit earlier. Let's go out to Mikey Samristil right now.
Always appreciate getting to talk to Commanders cornerback Mikey Samristil. Plenty of football to discuss, but I saw something the other day that I wanted to ask you about. You had your baby in the stroller walking off the field. How different does all this feel now, you know, with that family side playing football going through training camp?
It feels great. Like, I think as a young kid, when you're watching your favorite teams train to camp, like you see guys with their kids out there, like, and you have that dream of like, man, one day I want to be able to be out on the field with my kid. For some guys, it's sooner than later, like whatever that looks like. But like for it to be me in that position now is just, it's such a blessing. Being out there with my wife, being out there with my daughter.
How old is she? She looks little.
She's 13 months.
Okay.
Yep.
How different does it feel?
So last year around this time,
she was just a baby.
Now she's walking around like every two, like we put her down, she's running across the field and stuff. Like it's such a good feeling.
That's great.
And like it just brings you back to like, man, like this is who I do it for. You know?
Right. And then you're out here in the heat and it's hot and it's tough. And you guys yesterday are in pads. Like, do you ever need that little bit of pick me up?
Sometimes, you know, like you got to bring yourself back to that place. Like, hey, look. Someone's counting on you. Someone's depending on you. And you need to go out there and be that for those people. You know what I mean? And, like, during the off season, my wife told me, she was like, hey, babe, like, we need you to go do what you do. You know what I mean? So, like, just hearing that from her is like, sheesh, like, I got to go do this thing for them. So, like, just it's going into camp, having that mindset of, like, okay, we're going into year two. You know, the stakes are a little bit bigger now. And just every single day, you just got to be consistent in what it is that you love doing. And like for me, I know I love doing this one because it's been my dream. It's been my prayer.
Right.
And now having a family, like I need to go out there and provide for them.
Speaking of the stakes getting higher, right? Have you watched the quarterback show on Netflix?
Nah.
So they followed Jared Goff all last year. And it ends in the divisional round when you guys go up there and beat them and they show your interception in the game. Like, how How do you feel going into year two, knowing what you guys accomplished in the playoffs last year?
I'll say like what we did last year, it didn't end how we wanted it to, but you don't necessarily pick up where you left off in that sense. Like, I feel like you just, because it's a new group of guys, even though a lot of people are back, it's, you're building chemistry with, you know, guys they brought in, rookies. So you bring them onto what the standard is, right? And then from there, it's each and every single day, how can you just add and just add and just keep digging at ways to get better? And so the routine I'm doing right now isn't what I was doing last year. In order for me to, and I got this from Bobby Wagner, he said, in order for you to even reach the level of success you had last year, you have to do more, because what you did last year is no longer enough. And then if you want to take it further than that, how much more can you actually do? So just hearing him say that, and that's a guy who's been in the league for, I think, 12, 13 years now.
Yeah, he's going to the Hall of Fame.
I'm going to stop playing with his years. I keep saying 30 years, but just like I said, like that's a Hall of Famer, you know what I mean?
And yeah.
Hearing that from him is like, that's just not words, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's somebody who's done it time and time again. I'm not going to take those words lightly. And so, like, I already know, like, what I did last year isn't enough. And it's just been for me, like, how can I find something different within myself that's going to help me take this team to, you know, just help take this team somewhere further than it was last year? Because how I look at it is, it's the team before me. And if I'm not doing my part to help this team, then I'm not doing anything. So I want to make sure that each and every day I'm helping this team get better somehow, some way.
You talked about new players. So Will Harris, it looks to me like a fully healthy Marshawn Lattimore. Then you draft Trey Amos. Like, it seems like the secondary is, you know, there's lots of people to play. But, like, Lattimore, you, Amos, Harris, Kwan, how is that group coming together?
Yeah, for Marshawn, I think having somebody like Will is good for him because he played with him. So sure. they have that chemistry. For the rest of us, like, we've been able to build and just bring Marshawn along to what we have from, you know, last year he was coming off an injury. Yeah. Like, he looks great right now. And for myself, like, what he did for me last year, just being, you know, being able to tell me, like, what he saw while I was out there in the games that he wasn't playing, like, just being able to help me with my technique and stuff like that. But now, this year, being able to work with him at a high level, you know, giving him releases pre-practice, during practice, like, whatever it is, being able to just talk, like, all of that matters in what's coming down the line. And he's one of the ones that's, like, at his best, he's one of the best in this, you know, in this game we play. And I'm excited to see him just, you know, like you just mentioned, to see a healthy version of him, right mindset version of him, just go out there and just, you know, make plays and just be who he is. And then just the group, I feel, is getting tighter. You know, the bond is growing, the connection is getting stronger. And, you know, I think that's when you're out there on the football field, like, it all just comes down to how well connected you got, like, sure. how well connected you are. Because I know I look across the field and see Marshawn or see Trey, see Noah, John, like, whoever it is. I know that off the field, how tight we are is going to just make playing on the field just so much easier. See Revo behind me, Kwan, Will, Percy, like, it doesn't matter. Look to my right, Bobby, Luvu in front of me, I have that, you know, the monsters, like, it just does not matter. Like, just having that tight-knit group, that bond, like, you can go out there and do whatever. Because I know my guys got my back and I got theirs.
And beyond the defense, it's clear that you and Jaden are tight, always busting each other's chops. What do you think about Jaden in year two?
Just excited to see him just play ball. You know, he carries himself with such a high level of professionalism. And, like, you know, coming in with him, like, that motivates me to just want to be great. Just seeing my peer do it. Because I know the level of greatness that he wants to reach. But yeah, like, you know, like you just said, like, we're always going back and forth. Like, you need that. You know what I mean? You need to have that type of friendship, have that type of, you know, bond with your guys. Like I said, it just makes being at work easier. You know what I mean? And like you mentioned, having that mindset of, okay, during those tough times, I think about my family. I also think about the guys I do the hard work with each and every single day. Like DQ says, doing hard things with good people.
It's a good edit.
Yeah. I can't say the explicit version, but, you know, like, it's just, it just makes this so much easier to do when you're doing it with your brothers. And like, it's just, hey, you know what? I know you're gonna pick me up when I need you to. I know I'll pick you up when you need me to. Let's just go do this thing.
Last one. So you and Jaden, obviously close. The whole team is close. He hits that corner throw to Jalen Lane the other day. It was a pretty ridiculous throw.
Great throw.
Was it a touchdown?
No. What? Out of bounds. Well, okay. Yeah, what? College Saturdays, Jay Lane, that's a great touchdown. On Sundays, Mondays, and Thursdays, my brother, incomplete.
Jaden then comes over and is giving you a hard time, showing you that it was in, it was out. What was he saying, and what was your reply in that moment?
I don't know. I actually don't know what he was saying.
Because the fans were right there. It had to be pretty loud.
I think he was just trying to get them. He was pretty much like, look, it don't matter what they saw. All they saw was a catch. I come over there and just start cheering. The fans are going to cheer. Rightfully so. But me, I knew it was incomplete. So when he ran over, I'm hitting the ground, slapping the spot that showing, look, his feet were out of bounds right here. We got back to meetings. The film showed he was out of bounds. And that's all that matters.
Tape don't lie.
Like I said, it was definitely a very great throw. And that's what he does.
Yeah. You know
what
I mean, the throw was, it was a great effort from Lane, who's going to learn to get absolutely both feet in. Absolutely. But the throw was just outrageous. Yeah. I mean, there were like three of you right there for that to get. It was crazy.
Ball placement, accuracy, just, you can't ask for anything more.
So you know, I was standing right there, and I had it incomplete on the spot. Like, I saw it the right way.
Uh-huh.
Mikey, thanks for doing this, man. Appreciate you, buddy. How impressive of a young man is Sammer still be?
He big time.
He doesn't talk like a second-year guy. He didn't, as a rookie, a rookie.
Last year, he was taking over to him. I like him.
Where do you think that defensive backfield can go?
Sky's the limit. If, like he stated, if Marshawn is healthy.
Commitment and buy-in. And, like, I love seeing Jaden and Mikey bust each other's chops all the time. Like, I love seeing Jaden and Bobby bust each other's chops all the time. You know what I mean? Like, not to compare, but even the five of us dumbasses, right? You have Brian, who is a former player, a mentor, like a public speaker. Brian is like this elite person. Then you got the rest of us, and we all treat each other equally and bust each other's balls. And it's the only
consistently.
It's the only way to like function. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it shows you care about one another. It's just, to me, I want to say it's how dudes interact in a healthy manner.
Yep.
Maybe that's just how people interact in a healthy manner.
How people should act.
But this team has it the right way, and I think you see it day after day. Like, when Jaden was like, damn, it's only been a week at camp? Sheesh. That's because...
And he probably was speaking for everybody on the team.
Totally, dude. And as much as it's an off day for the media tomorrow, it's not an off day for them.
Nah.
They're here. It's just they close the walkthroughs to us.
Like, a lot of the guys, even when they aren't here.
They're coming
they're
in.
They're not off.
Dude, they come in for workouts. They come in to watch tape. Like, in season, Tuesday's the off day. You ever been out here on a Tuesday? Parking lot's still pretty damn full.
Mm-hmm.
And it just says a lot about kind of what they're putting together.
It becomes more of a routine. And the more you do the routine of football, the better you get at football.
I mean, it's what you always say about you got to play football to play football.
100%.
We're going to see more of it next week. I can't wait. I thought today was their best practice. I also think the coaches gave them the most leash to have their best practice.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, some days it's like, all right, we're just going to do a little, just going to let everybody get a taste of it, and then we're done.
But you always talk about the build-up stage.
Yeah, man.
And this is 7 days. They've been building up for this. And now they finally go out, then they give you this day. And then, you know what? They're now building up for the first preseason game, which means they'll get to a point, and then they get to it and they pull back that next day before the game and they go play the game. And now we're building for the second preseason game because I expect a little more out of you.
Sure.
You know, and then once the preseason is over, it's kind of strange because you get 2 weeks before the next game. So you in a sense, you try to chill, but you still keep building. And then you keep that thing going once the regular season starts for September 7th.
It's a slow burn, and then it's just the house is on fire, man. Mm-hmm. Speaking of the house on fire, the Nationals just made a big trade. Not Gore, but a big one. We've got Toby Altizer joining us next to break down.
Let's get it.
Breaking news from the Washington Nationals on MLB trade deadline day. Nobody go anywhere. All right, I believe we are hours away from the MLB trade deadline, and Nats decided to make a big move. Not maybe the biggest move they can make, but
a
big one.
We kind of figured this would come, though.
I think they'd be crazy not to, frankly.
Yeah.
Helping us make sense. So the Nationals have traded Kyle Finnegan to the Detroit Tigers. I almost said the Detroit Lions, if you don't think I'm in football mode.
Yeah, but let's do that one.
Finnegan was really good last year, not the same year this year, but clearly a player that could help a contender, especially if maybe he's not working the ninth. Maybe he's working the seventh or the eighth. Toby Altizer is the official baseball insider for the B. Mitchell Finley program. Toby, take us through the Finnegan trade. What do you think?
Yeah, so they trade him to Detroit. The return, according to Andrew Golden, is they get back Josh Randall, a right-handed pitcher right now in high A, and then R.J. Sales, another pitcher currently in A-ball. Randall's ranked 15th, according to MLB Pipeline. R.J. Sales outside the top 30. But both of these guys could help down the line, more so just organizational depth as pitchers. Randall, 17 starts this year in high A, 3.92 ERA, struck out 70 over 80 in the third inning. So solid arm there. And R.J. Sales, he's got 16 games this year, 15 starts, a 2.71 ERA. So two solid arms in the low minor league, so they're not going to be here anytime soon. But anybody that's not bolted down for the future is available to be moved. And I think last year they looked at the Finnegan situation and they non-tendered him, and there was a real chance they weren't going to get him back this season. So they didn't want to make that same mistake, as he's probably not back next season. So move him for anything that you can get and get a couple of quality arms that can help you out in the low minor leagues, and maybe you can develop them and they can help you down the line.
What does that mean in terms of helping this team produce better on the field?
Well, right now, B-Mitch, yeah, right now, nothing, frankly. Right now, it's not going to help this team out in the slightest. And honestly, the way Finnegan has pitched recently, it's been a bit of a struggle for him as well. And it's so tough, I'm sure, for some of these guys getting to this point of the season, where I think a lot of them, with the expectations they had going into this year, or that they would at least be more competitive. And basically with that month of June into early July, it just kind of took them out of it. So we'll see if they can improve, but you're losing pieces. That's now three pieces out of the pen. You lost a starter in trading away Soroka, and we'll see if they make some more moves. But yeah, I mean, this team has been pretty bad already, and it's just only going to get worse because there's not a whole lot of these pieces that are going to help out right away.
The Nats are currently 20 games under 500. In telling you how this works, the Nats are 20 games under 500. The Tigers are 20 games over 500. I know at one point they were tied for the best record in the majors, right? Like, the Tigers, what is Finnegan for them? A seventh, eighth inning piece?
Yeah, just more, you know, quality relief. Like, he's had experience as a closer here, obviously, and they're not going to use him as a closer, I wouldn't think, but you can never have too many arms in the postseason, especially with how modern baseball works, where your starters usually only go in four or five unless you have, like, a Tarek Skubal like they have. But on other days, you know, they're probably going to pull their starter when it gets to the third time through the order. So you're going to end up using four or five relievers a game in the postseason. So he can go out there and give you a quality inning. And I think the stuff isn't quite as good this season as it has been in the past. But if you can get him out there and pitching effectively, he can be a really, really good reliever. So he's not going to pitch the ninth for them, but he'll be someone that can be effective in some high leverage spots.
So the Nats make a big move. Kyle Finnegan is going to Detroit. Finnegan was, I think he was an all-star last year, right? I know he had the dope Star Wars bobblehead. A lot of people were surprised they didn't trade him last year when they had the chance. They were able to bring him back. Does this say a little something about the difference between Riz and DeBartolo that Finnegan got traded this year and not last year?
Maybe a little bit, but I would have thought that even if Rizzo were still in charge here, he would have traded him. I think they looked at how last season played out, and they looked at not trading him as a mistake, and I think they were exploring those options, but maybe they fooled themselves a little bit and thinking that they were a little more competitive than they actually were, because around the trade deadline time, they were still hovering close enough to 500 that if you had a good stretch, maybe you could get somewhere. But no, I don't think that it's a big difference, but I think you're seeing with DeBartolo what he's been able to do with basically anybody that's on a one-year contract or isn't a part of the long-term plan. He's finding ways. Like, I really liked what they got back for Soroka in that deal, and you got to be happy with what he's done so far. Now, you know, the big question is whether Gore is on the table or not. I would not trade him. I know it seems like most people have kind of flipped to the other side and they would trade him at that deadline, but it's been crazy to see some of the returns, like the return the Padres just gave up to the A's to go get a reliever in Mason Miller and another starter in J.P. Sears, giving up the number three prospect in all of baseball to get him. You know, maybe you do have to consider moving Mackenzie Gore if that's kind of the market you're looking at. If you're shopping within the top 10 prospects in all of baseball, that's definitely something you'd have to consider.
If you're always trading pieces to find prospects, possibilities, and your possibilities don't hit consistently, how the hell do you build a team?
It's a great point, B-Mitch.
I know people like to tell me about how baseball is different and everything. But I tell you, if I'm buying season tickets, I don't want to hear that. I want to see you successful, competing, being somebody in contention. Not the person every year you're telling me, oh, we're going to be better in about 4 years, though. And we're not.
Yeah, I saw Kyle Glazer writes for, I think he does Foul Territory TV. He used to do Baseball America, really smart. He said that basically 1 in 5 prospects that's traded the deadline ever turn into significant big leaguers. And that's what makes the Juan Soto trade so crazy, is you have 3 guys already, and there's a chance for a 4th with Harley and Susana coming up. You hit on that, and you hit on that trade so well with Gore, Abrams, and Wood, and potentially Susana down the line, that trades like that don't happen very often. And that's what I think is so funny, is so many people talk about trading Gore and saying, well, if you get a Soto-like return, there haven't been Soto-like returns ever in the history of baseball. And there's probably never going to be another Soto-like return ever again in the history of baseball. That's just not how it works. And so for every Juan Soto deal, there's pick your bad trade where a team gets a couple of prospects and they never make the majors or they're never impactful big leaguers. And so I completely agree, B. Mitch. I mean, unfortunately, where this team is at, when it doesn't seem like they're going to be able to sign any of their own guys, like a Mackenzie Gore, then you end up getting into the spot where whenever there's 2 years, a year and a half left, you trade away all your guys, and that's what sucks so much about this. But hopefully, in the next couple of years, with developing some of these young guys, and you know, maybe you're targeting a 2027, a 2028, where Wood would still be a part of the team, but I don't think that Gore would, and if they'd have to sign Abrams at that point if it's going to be a part of the future. It's just, it's a weird spot to be in, and frankly, it's what makes this part of Nationals history so disappointing, is it felt like they were on the rise a little bit, and now they've kind of gone back down, and maybe they're a little further away than we thought, and that's already after a couple of years of really crappy baseball.
So what's your gut say about Gore? They don't do it?
I don't think they trade him. I don't think that at this deadline they'll do it. Now, I think the good part is now that they've talked about it so much, I think fans are kind of somewhat prepared. So I don't think that it happens at the deadline, but I would say it's better than 50-50 chance he gets moved in the off season. But I just don't think that at the buzzer here with a couple hours left before the deadline, they'll do it.
So what else could happen then? Like, who? What are the other moves?
I know it's crazy because it's funny how the first couple weeks, month and a half of a season can sometimes kind of set a narrative for a guy for the year. But Josh Bell has been incredible over the last 40 to 50 games. Wouldn't be surprised if they're able to move Josh Bell. Doesn't seem like the trade market for Nathaniel Lowe is picking up, so I don't know that they'll move him. I've heard some teams are maybe talking about Alex Call. Would they move a Luis Garcia Jr.? But basically anybody that's not tied down, so basically anybody that's not Abrams, Wood, or Gore, it wouldn't be shocking to see any of those guys moved. But I think the only dudes with real value that'll probably still get moved would be Josh Bell and maybe Garcia or Call. But I think it's almost a given that Josh Bell goes somewhere, even if it's for very minimal.
All right, that's our boy Toby Altizer. Give him a follow.
Appreciate
at Toby underscore Altizer, T-O-B-I underscore A-L-T-I-Z-E-R. Fair to guess, once the trade deadline passes, there'll be a new Bustin' Loose podcast?
Yes, sir. There should be one being recorded tonight, and we'll have it out for you tomorrow morning.
There you go. Toby joining us on the Rude Guest Hotline. Appreciate you, Toby. Take you in a pinch.
Appreciate you guys.
All right, buddy. That's our guy, Toby Altizer. Give him a follow, man. A lot of good baseball information. The kid's all over everything. Talking about Madden ratings. Maybe we circle back to Madden ratings or we do that tomorrow. Coming next, though, Tony Pauline, wired in the NFL, really good at the scouting game. Tony Pauline talking Terry McLaurin's contract. Nobody go anywhere.